Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Samina Spin. I'm your host, Samina Mogul. Welcome to episode 13, Diving into the Storm. If you'd like to chime in and put your spin on to the topic I'm talking about, please call in. The number is 323-642-1775. Again, the number to call in is 323-642-1775. I'd love to hear from you. Today, I am going to talk about just diving in when life throws the unexpected at you. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Patience is worth anything. It must endure to the end of time. And a living faith will last in the midst of the blackest storm." Easy for him to say. He was the Mahatma, the great soul. Seriously, the nature of the soul is to be great. So we all are great souls capable of being patient and having faith in the blackest storm. I take it a step further and go beyond faith. I say it's a knowing. You have to have a knowing in the midst of the blackest storm. You have to know everything will be all right. This is why I choose to dive into the storm. If it's something I know I can't avoid, I dive right in. I have no interest in running away or cowering in fear. Even if I ever actually experience fear, I will feel it and discard it. I did that recently when I was in a part of Atlanta I had never been to before for a book event. First of all, it seemed like a ghost town, like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome type of shit. I was actually a little scared. I can't remember the last time I was scared walking around a neighborhood. And I went to school at Temple, which was in one of the worst neighborhoods in Philadelphia. I think it's gotten better since I graduated, but at the time, it was like a fucking war zone. I was hardly ever scared walking around there, but I was scared in this neighborhood in Atlanta, and it was actually a college campus. I think I was nervous because it was eerily quiet. You would think there would be some life occurring on a college campus. I didn't see hardly any people walking around. To add to the uncertainty, there was no street parking. So I had to look around to find a place to park. I heard of free parking on a specific parking deck near the event. I drove past there and was so far from where I needed to be that I thought to myself, there is no way I'm walking this far from where I need to be in this neighborhood. Luckily, there was a parking lot on the same street as where I had to be. It was only about 100 feet away, so I didn't even have to walk far. I parked and got out of the car. As soon as I stepped out of the car to look at the spot number, someone came up to me to ask me for money for food. I rarely carry cash, so I had to tell him no. He gave me the dirtiest look. I just kept walking. Scared or not, I do what I have to do. And I'll be damned if I'm going to be intimidated by some asshole who wasn't going to use that money for food anyway. You know how I know he wasn't using that money for food? Because when I got inside the event, someone told me all the restaurants closed in that area at 7 o'clock. It was a little after 7 when he approached me. I still, even before I knew that information, I still felt like he was just some sort of scammer. And my gut didn't steer me wrong. He was a scammer. I've done that a lot, plowed through even if I was nervous or scared. One time when I went to Temple, I had an evening class. My car was in the shop, though, so I had to figure out how to get home. Instead of asking someone to pick me up, my simple ass wanted to be Miss Independent and take the L train. I got to the train station, and there was literally no one there, not even anyone behind the ticket counter. I looked around and thought someone could murder me and no one would know. fortunately, the train came fairly quickly, and I didn't have to push my luck for too long. But there I was, standing there like, it is what it is. I'm here by myself in the shittiest part of Philly that I can be in. And I will be okay. And I was. I'm reminded of a conversation I had with one of my sisters when we lived together a few years ago. We were laughing at our overly cautious sister who had a rolled carpet in front of the door when you walked in just in case someone unwanted came in. We thought that was a bit much, but we didn't complain or have it moved. If that made her feel safe, we would live with it. We still had to have a go at her, though. And I remember almost every time I would walk in that door having visions of tripping over that fucking carpet. I would get so irritated every time I walked in the door. I was like, oh, my God, because this girl is so paranoid, I'm going to bust my ass on this carpet. But it never happened. I never tripped over the carpet. But it was just annoying and weird to walk in the front door. And mind you, there is like a sunroom in front of our living room. So it's not like that's all you stared at was the carpet. But still, just the idea of that being in the room to stop an intruder is just ridiculous to me. If somebody wants to get to you, a rolled carpet is not going to stop them. Anyway, we laughed more when we said someone could really be stalking us and we would never know. At the end of the day, we just don't give a shit. We always said anybody who comes after us are either going to be stopped or we'll take them with us. It's just that simple. Two times in my life, I did feel like someone was following me. I'm not even kidding. Both times, I was in Philly conducting some sort of business. The one time someone actually was, I was trying to get on a train after a job interview. I wasn't actually sure where I was going, and I think that was obvious. Made me an easy target. The guy who followed me was clearly mentally unstable, too. He even tried to talk to me. He wasn't even coherent. I tried to keep walking and ignore him. Then I realized he didn't even go anywhere. So instead of heading to my train, I went into the gallery. The gallery is a mall in Center City where I was at the time. I was scared, but I had enough presence of mind to know that I needed to get to a place where there was a lot of people. I went into a Foot Locker. Still trying to ignore the guy following me, I pretended to look at some clothes. Somehow, that only emboldened the guy more, and he tried to get closer to me in the store as I was looking at clothes. Again, fortune smiled at me, and the employees noticed something off. One of them asked me, "Excuse me, ma'am, is everything okay?" I immediately said no and just shot her a look like, get this sick motherfucker away from me. And then the guy found his articulation and said, "No, it's okay." The other employee, who was a big guy, came from behind the register and grabbed the guy by the arm and took him out of the store. Security was nearby, and they took him away. Now, I had no idea what was going to happen, but I wasn't going to be intimidated and let someone do something to me. It taught me a lesson. Even if you don't know where you're going, act like you do. To this day, even when I'm in another country, I act like I own the place. I act like I know where I'm going. I walk confidently in whatever direction I'm going in, even if I have no clue where I'm going. At least that way, I don't have a bullseye on my back like I did in the other situation. The second time was much simpler. The guy wasn't following me, but he was walking behind me just long enough to make me nervous. It was broad daylight and people were around me, but I was uneasy. I don't know where my indignation came from, but I thought, I'm not letting anyone do anything to me. Mind you, I had no plan whatsoever. I decided I would find a way to defend myself if necessary. he eventually turned onto another block, so that one was okay. At one time, I questioned whether I was brave, which is stupid. I realized it's not stupid. I'm not dumb by any means, and I'm not oblivious. I just know no one will make me feel fear and be an obstacle between me living my life the way I want to live it. And I damn sure am not letting anybody hurt me. That's just not going to happen. Dive right in when I'm afraid. I do it when I'm sad, too. In 2002, my eldest brother crossed over. He crossed over in our house, and I, along with two other members of my family, discovered his lifeless body. As I was processing that a 40-year-old man left the world, something in me told me that I would survive. I wouldn't let that loss destroy me. I had already mourned my father for a year and realized that got me nowhere. Me walking through life in a haze didn't serve me or him. And that's what 2001 was for me when my father crossed over, a haze that I don't remember too well. As much as I love my brother, I had to feel that loss, but get on with life. That was the year that I started a new teaching job, and I had to get back to work. I had to make my career, and I was just starting my career. I was just starting my teaching career at that point. I couldn't fall apart. Not too many people at my job knew what happened. I just dealt with it. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to just deal with it. You have to have some sort of presence of mind and just deal with things. You dive right in. And that's what I've always done. I'm at a point where whatever is happening with me, I find my footing and I jump right in. Whether it's a big issue or small issue, I face it, assess the situation, make a decision, and go forward. It took me some time to do that when something is really important. I naturally think very fast, and I basically think of every possible scenario before I go forward when it's something big. And when I think of every scenario possible, sometimes that gets my head spinning a little bit, as it would with anybody. And then I realized that doesn't do me any good either. That doesn't do me any good to be spinning my wheels and looking in 10 different directions. What does help me is just finding that inner calm. So even in a big situation, I find that inner calm. I find that knowing. And that's how you get through it or make a decision. You find that inner calm and that knowing. It took me some time to do that. It really did. And I'm still doing the work for that. But I have that knowing. Big situation, small situation, I have that knowing. It's always about finding the calm before the storm hits. That is how you get through it. If anyone knows anything about hurricanes, other than the fact that they're scary as hell, an interesting fact about a hurricane is that the calmest part of the hurricane, the eye, it's the center, and the strongest winds will never reach it. It's the same with life. Find your center, and the strongest winds won't reach you. Author Willa Cather said, "There are some things you learn best in calm, and some in storm. Embrace both the calm and the storm." If you like what you've heard in this podcast and would like to hear more, I have two books available on Amazon, Scheherazade's Daughters and the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. If you would like to read my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog, you can check that out on www.SaminaKMogul.com. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.